Welcome to another episode of Extra Features Movie Review Podcast. This is episode 267, and I'm Kevin.
And I'm Nick Frost.
I'm Simon Pegg.
I'm Doug.
And I'm the intern's older brother. Wait, that makes me the older brother. Never mind.
So how's it going, guys? How's the 2 weeks been?
Oh, you know, 2 weeks.
Hey, you got a shot. You're done, buddy.
That's true. I did get my second vaccination shot, yes.
Oh, you got your
still have
one.
2 weeks left, yes. I still have 2 weeks to go till I can go out into the world.
Ooh. With no mask? Or do you have to wear a mask?
Oh, no, definitely masking.
Still have to wear masks. Okay. That's what we've been told.
Not in Texas. Texas is fair game.
Well,
Texas, you know.
Yeah.
And what is it, Florida, too?
Let's have a Texas party.
Well, I have a good story for you, which I've casually talked about with you guys, very casually, but I'll tell the whole story here. So Tuesday last week, it was a week ago, it doesn't matter. I was at a Funny's place. I was just about to leave, and I always check my phone to see if there's stuff available in the area that I might be interested in. And it popped up right near my house. Some guy said at 3 o'clock, he's putting out 15 boxes of DVDs. For free. So I'm like, rewrite it. Like, okay, I have to pick up my daughter at 3:40. So, of course, I'm not really sure where the place is, but I figured 20 minutes at most from my house. So I punch it in my GPS. I'm like, okay, I know where I'm going. So I get there and I miss the house. So I turn around and park across the street. Some guy parks right in front. So I'm pissed out, right? So I know he's there for the DVDs too. And this is around 2:52. So I get out at 2:55. The guy looks at me. He gets out. I've said, oh, you're here for the DVDs. Doesn't say a word to me. I'm like, okay. That really friendly guy. So we both walk up to the garage. And this is at 2:55. And the guy is going, hey, you guys are here for the DVDs? Come on in. And literally he's putting – we both are wearing a mask, obviously. The guy's not, but I am. So he gives the first guy a box. He goes, you, hold on a second. Hands me two boxes. So the first guy gets one. I get two. I have to walk to my car across the street. So I'm a little bit further to go. I come back in line. There's a third guy now. So the third guy gets this giant box of DVDs, probably double what I had. The first guy gets one, and I get another two.
So right now you got four.
So I have four now. And then he comes back, and I let it behind him. He took the last two because he knew I would be taking them. I'm like, whatever. So I get back to my car. It is full of DVDs. Maybe I had five boxes. I don't know in the end. But completely full. So I'm like, I'm on holidays. I'm like, I really don't want to bring these in the house. So literally, I have a trash can beside my car and another bin. And I'm pulling out stuff that interests me. The bootlegs the guy had, they went in the garbage, and the rest of the stuff. So now I have about 3.5 boxes of DVDs. Because I pulled out about 50 I hadn't seen, which was kind of cool. But it's all like hodgepodge, 90s.
Hardcore pornography.
No, there was one. There was a season one of some Playboy thing was in there. But that was the only one. No, the bin is like, I don't know what this is, like urban movies. I guess that was the genre at that time. A lot of Nina Long movies, Jamie Foxx, movies I'd never heard of. Martin Lawrence is in one of them. So I'll talk about them at the end of the show. I'll go get the box. So I go, all right, what am I going to do with these? You know what? I'll drive them over to the DVD store and see what they take. Right? They took maybe 10. Everything else they had. So I said, you know what? That's it. I'm done. I donated the rest of them. I'm like, I'm not keeping this stuff. So I did make $20. So, and picked up 50 discs, so that was probably a good day.
How many did you donate?
Oh, like 300.
Nice.
I didn't realize
it was 15 boxes. That's awesome.
I asked the intern to come over. He didn't want to. I said, you got one day? He said, nope.
Oh, no. You said they're going to be in your garbage until the garbage picks it up next week.
Well, those were the bootlegs were in the garbage. Yes, they're still there. But you have two days till they go in the garbage.
Uh-huh.
And my other thing I want to discuss, maybe you guys could help me. My wife thinks I have
enough movies in my house.
My gym, has appointments every hour and 15 minutes because they need 15 minutes to clean up for COVID.
Okay.
They wipe it down. My argument is, well, we're supposed to be wiping them down. And there's only 10 of us in the gym. So if you're really not wiping down your equipment, I would notice. I'm not really, I'm closer checking you out, but I presume. So fine. So literally, I have to log in 72 hours before the time I want to show up to log one of 10 appointments. So on Monday, I was booking Saturday for Monday. I booked between 5 o'clock and 10 o'clock at night. So there's 5 chances of 50 spots. I want one. I bombed out. Got zero. Oof. Today, on Tuesday, which is Sunday, I got one. So I was all excited at 7. So, and then today, I finally got one at 9. So I have 2 days in a row. So literally, I have the world clock, which I've never even heard of. I had to go look this thing up, that tells me the exact seconds of the world clock that everything goes by. So when that clock clicks 6, I wait 1 second, and then I have to log in, try to book the gym. Because if I book in between that point something of a second and the 1 second, which is a tenth of a second, I don't get a gym spot. I know I'm crazy, but this is my world I've been living in lately. I really want everybody to have 2 shots, please, out there. This is the end of my story. So I can go to the gym at a reasonable time and go with everybody else and not have to worry about this crap and stress every day about it. So enough about me. What's been happening with you guys? Crickets. Great. So nothing's happened.
Yeah. Nothing's happened.
14 days passed.
Was doing saw some movies from South by Southwest Film Festival, so that was pretty cool.
Kevin has lots to talk about on Facebook. It's like a full page here. Crickets. Really, Kevin? You're not going to say you saw The Invincible. You had a lot to say about Winter Soldier, Cap. Nothing here. I see how you work.
Yep, that's how it works.
Right. Nothing to say about Invincible?
Yeah, I watched some TV. And when I'm at home, I watch some TV. And I watch some movies. So,
okay, enough of you guys.
I got a lot of calls from you. You called me quite a few times.
And you didn't answer my question ever. So enough of you. I'm not going to ask you.
Sometimes I don't even answer
me this morning, too.
Yeah. I didn't call Kevin today.
No. You called me this morning.
I did. I had the question for Kevin, though.
You also called Warren this morning, too, and found out that I'm up till 1:30 in the morning. Big deal.
Warren told me to call him on Twitter. He says, please call me on Twitter. So I did. I don't know why he didn't text me that, but I did. Enough about that. While I was on holiday, so I did get to see Ryan the Last Dragon. It's only The Last Dragon, but there's lots of other films about dragons. So maybe this film is actually wrong. Hit it, Daniel.
Yeah. I was going to say Simon and the Last Gym before you asked if anyone else had anything. Yes, Raya and the Last Dragon, directed by Don Hall, Carlos Lopez Estrada, Paul Briggs, John Ripa, and starring Kelly Mary Tran, Awkwafina, Isaac Wang, Gemma Chan, Benedict Wong, Daniel Dae Kim, Sandra Oh, and Alan Tudyk as Tuk Tuk.
That's it? Come on, Bob, you're up.
Oh, okay. I actually liked the movie as a whole, but it sort of felt a little choppy. But the animation looked great. Love the voice acting. Awkwafina sounded a little more normal than she usually does. Like, she usually had a whining voice. And the animation looked really good because Raya, there was a couple of scenes where she looked real and the scenery looked real-ish. Because I don't want to say real because you'll say, no. And I thought they were both well cast in the role. So overall, I liked the movie.
Who was well cast? Awkwafina and
Kelly Marie Tran. Yeah, and whoever else. Like I like the characters.
Tut Tut was well cast too.
Okay,
love Alan Tudyk.
Exactly. Next,
I can go. I enjoyed how it came to what does it say in the corner? I enjoyed how it was like kind of like turned into like a Fellowship of the Ring kind of thing as they went through the different places and they started just picking up characters from there. I thought that was really cool and just like really went into the theme of community and how like you have to trust each other and just what they were going for, which I can't remember the name of
the stone thing, right?
No, just the way they call all the when it was originally the world that they call it, the something with starts with a K, but I can't remember.
I forgot.
Anyway, I love the animation. I thought it looked beautiful. I love the story. I love the cast. It's hard for Disney animated movies to go wrong for me. And this continued that trend. I just really like the world building. I like pretty much everything about this one.
That's
it. I'll be honest, for me, it got kind of into Uncanny Valley a little bit for me, especially with Raya and Namari. The other characters all looked cartoony enough, but there were times when those two characters in particular looked almost human, but their eyes were too big. So kind of like Alita Battle Angel, it was kind of Uncanny Valley for me. Aside from that, I mean, I thought it was beautiful. I thought it was beautiful. The story was really nice. Some good action scenes. Nothing really horrible to say about this.
Okay. Nope. I had a few issues. I mean, they're minor. Just minor. I think the animation, that food actually looked edible to me a lot of the time. Like, I would eat that soup. It looks so good. It looks like you could eat it. I love the hair movement. That's the one thing that amazed me. They got the hair down finally, which I think is the hardest thing in animation to do, swinging hair, because everybody's hair moves when it's long. I thought that was good. I enjoyed the voice acting. Awkwafina drove me a little nuts at times because she doesn't really change. I found her tone that much, if that makes any sense. Like, she seemed to be the same happy-go-lucky character the whole time, and I don't know if I was really looking for that. I think the baby character was hysterical. I really think the baby added a lot. I thought Tuk Tuk did a great job. I love the kid in the boat. I thought he added a lot to it. So when you're saying it's like a Fellowship of the Ring, I agree, but I found every character had something to do. I didn't feel anybody was just there doing nothing, and I found it kind of worked. I mean, obviously, it's a Disney movie. It's going to come together at the end, and they're all going to be happy and singing and get what they need.
I didn't hear
that. That's okay. But I think this film just looks beautiful, and it's really good to watch.
Yeah, fair enough.
I love this film. I thought it was fantastic. I thought the animation was spectacular. I thought the effects of water and rain were some of the best we've seen in anything from Disney or Pixar. Particularly the final scene with the waterfalls and all that. I thought the villains were interesting in that they turned everything to stone and were draining the life out of Earth, everything. I thought it was interesting how each of the lands were connected as part of the body of the dragon. One was the heart, one was the spine, one was the brain, and so forth. It was interesting to see all the different South Asian cultures were represented in different ways. You know, Japanese, Chinese, Malaysian, Philippines. I thought that was interesting. I got to say that actually I disagree. The baby character was to me the most useless because the baby was too smart for.
Okay,
for
I can accept that.
It was too goofy. Everything else was fine. I mean, Raya and her nemesis Namari were both young women. The young boy that pilots the boat, he's had to grow up. But to me, I can't see the baby and what is it, the dogs that she works with? The puppies. They seem too bright for doing what they did. I mean, it was comedic and it was well done. The sequence when she steals the dragon egg or whatever it is, the diamond. And but I don't know. I thought it was great. A lot of fun. It's gotten some credit. What?
Just one more thing. I just want to say, maybe the baby isn't a baby. Maybe it's like a 20-year-old that never grew up. Do you know what I mean? You know,
it doesn't look like that. It looked like a baby.
Like Barb Simpson.
20-year-olds that don't grow up look different.
Okay.
You know.
I mean, I think that was just like the Penguins of Madagascar that they brought into it, like kind of Minions mascot.
There's nothing wrong with Penguins of Madagascar, but they did delay Minions too. That makes me happy because I hated the first one.
I hate that movie. I love Despicable Me. I hate Minions.
Mm-hmm. Okay, everybody talked, right? So I don't get in trouble?
Yes, sir.
Thinking of films that should be banned in the future, ones with cat and a mouse.
Ooh. What is it? Jerry and Tom? Is that their names?
Yeah.
Tom and Jerry, directed by Tim Story, starring Chloe Grace Moretz. Fuck.
I knew I hated it.
Michael Pena, Colin Jost from SNL, Patsy Ferran, Pallavi Sharda, and Tom and Jerry as themselves.
I should have dropped the ball saying enough about Nine Lives, but I couldn't remember if that had a dog in it or not.
Oh, that was a cat. That's acceptable.
We have different levels of acceptable.
No, the movie's not acceptable. That transition would be okay. Acceptable.
Oh, okay, good. This was painful. Painful. I never liked Tom and Jerry cartoon. I always thought they were dumb characters. I just felt they were very repetitious. So when I got to this movie, I was like, okay, Chloe Moretz is in it. She's on the downslide. You guys keep giving fun of me, but I'm going to point to Tom and Jerry going, it's continuing. I hated this movie. It made no sense. It was just kind of dumb. Michael Pena looked bored. Like, everybody just looked bored. It was a dumb premise. And actually, every time they cut to the end. Okay, Lost, whatever. Yeah. This movie is terrible. I gave it a zero. It's my worst movie of the year, and it's going to be hard to beat how bad this movie is. I don't know who this movie is for. It's not for kids because it's too – the concept too smart. It's not for adults because it's too dumb for us. I mean, that whole stupid wedding thing, like, made no sense to me. And the fake elephants, I'm like – I really just had enough. And then what was the scene when Tom's playing the piano and the – Mouse is trying to get in, and then Tom's trying to get in. I'm like, I don't care. There's no point to this. I've seen the TV show. It's just the same thing. They have – these characters need to go away.
I can tell you the audience for this movie. It's cats and mice who want representation in film so they can see themselves in this movie. you know what? I'm an optimist, and that – like, because like when Scoob was coming out, I was like, okay, this should be good. It wasn't good. And then I was like, okay, Tom and Jerry, I like these characters. This should be good. It's worse than Scoop, pretty much.
Terrible.
I like these characters, and I can't defend Chloe Grace Moretz here for the choice to be in this one. I love her, but I mean, she just has that level of cringe in a movie like this that is just hard to get around with a script like this, and then. I just knew I was in for something bad when it opens with pigeons voiced by the director, Tim Story, just rapping about nothing. And then there's the whole auto-tune Tom at the piano. And it, yeah, just the whole animal tornado thing when they destroy the hotel. That happens twice. And just Michael Pena as the villain. It was more about the humans than the cat, classic cat and Tom and Jerry battle, and it's just bad. And as well as the alley cats, they look so bad. They just look so bad, like in this animation. I don't know. It's just a bad movie.
Terrible movie. Chloe Moretz is over. Enough of her. She can go away now.
So it's not over, but this
over.
Won't help.
Over Shadow of the Cloud.
Listen, terrible. This was a paycheck movie for her.
You hated Shadow of the Cloud anyway. So.
I liked Tom and Jerry. I liked the classic cartoons.
Same here.
So I don't know. I mean, you ask who was this movie made for, and I don't know who it was made for. It wasn't made for kids, because no kid would know who Tom and Jerry is.
Fair.
It made for the 60-year-old animation collector who remembers Tom and Jerry when they watched it on TV. Maybe, but they're going to be alienated 5 minutes in with Chloe Grace Moretz and her stuff. I mean, she literally lies to get the job at the hotel. Steals someone's resume. So the animation was actually, for what it wasn't like Scoob 3D style rendered animation. It was almost had like a 2D traditional look with a little bit of polish. So I liked the look. I thought the characters looked right. All animals were animated in it. So it wasn't just a choice to, you know, it's like all elephants, birds, cats, mice, everything else. There were some moments where I thought I was kind of entertained, like when Tom is trying to cross the wire and he keeps getting electrocuted to get into the apartment. I thought that was kind of amusing, but the film itself is just garbage. It's just everybody in that film ruined their career by wasting their time doing it. Mm-hmm. The whole marriage, the celebrity marriage between the Indian celebrity and the white guy, and they can't have the man. He keeps overdoing it, and the jewel gets lost, and it's just garbage. I mean,
come on, Mr. Scarlett Johansson's in this film.
Yeah, exactly. Scarlett's boy husband.
Who?
The
Colin Jost.
Yeah.
He's male. Married to Scarlett Johansson?
Yep. Yes.
I don't follow celebrity life. I mean, good for him.
Well, you are a celebrity, Daniel Prin. You should be following your own life.
Yeah.
Nothing to follow, though.
I guess I'll be a different voice here. I didn't think this movie was horrible.
Dog, you're kicked off the show.
But it wasn't for me. It's not made for me. It's not made for people who will listen to this podcast. Anybody who listens to a movie podcast will not be watching Tom and Jerry. This movie was made for like 6 and 8 year olds. It wasn't awful. I'm not ever going to watch it again.
Neither will I.
But for what it was, for what it set out to be, I don't think it was the worst. Scoob was worse. I thought Scoob was horrible.
I will back you up. A friend of mine has a 6-year-old, and they've seen this 3 times.
Oh, God.
And I was just talking to his mom today because she had an issue with something I had to fix just on her TV. And she said her son had seen Tom and Jerry 3 times. So I guess it's for that 6 to 8 year old crowd that
maybe.
I'm not even sure they'd be, but they won't know anything that mom's just put it on, right? Put on Raya for your kids.
Yeah, look at the pretty colors.
Yeah.
And it's kind of, sorry, just one more thing. It's kind of weird that all the animals can talk except for Tom and Jerry.
Tom talks.
Oh, yeah. Well, Tom sings. Tom sings. Yeah. And there's a difference.
And the dog actually talks. I could hear him.
Yeah, but I mean, don't they talk in the original cartoon?
No.
No, I don't think so.
Okay, they don't.
No, they didn't. I watched the original cartoon.
Oh, okay. I thought
and they didn't. That had a problem with this movie. I was going to say, like, because I watched Tom and Jerry, and if you're going to make an animated movie with humans, like, in it, make something good like Who Framed Roger Rabbit. The interaction between the characters, the cartoon characters, and the humans look more real than this. That's why I said to Simon that the live actors looked lost, because the dog was pulling whatever the guy's name is.
Michael Pena.
Michael Pena. He was Michael Pena was like, "What am I doing here?" Because it didn't match up with it didn't match up with the action.
Well, they're animating the dog in afterwards, unless maybe they gave him a cardboard dog. Oh, I know that, but
it looked less. That's what I'm trying to say, because it looked less real to me than Who Framed Roger Rabbit, where you have the human characters like Bob Hoskins and whatever.
Christopher Lloyd.
Thank you. They're interacting with the cartoon characters as well, but they look real. Like they look like not real, but they look like they're actually coming together, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, meshing.
Well, what you're saying is it's not blended well, I think.
Right, that's what I'm saying, because I remember Tom and Jerry when I was a kid. Because I'm older than you, but and this wasn't enjoyable at all. Like I thought, no.
Yeah.
I'll never be watching it again.
There's a Subaru commercial with Tom and Jerry, and I thought that looked better balanced than this. Like
probably was.
In this same world.
But the scary thing is though that HBO Max has picked up some crazy amount of subscribers. Huh. After they dumped Wonder Woman. So they don't care. They must be making money on this stuff.
Yeah. I probably would go back and watch the original series, and probably it wouldn't hold up well.
Well, maybe you could watch it while you're coming to America.
Another movie which should have never been made in the first place.
1988, right? The first one was?
No, this is 2021.
Well, are we starting with the original or the sequel?
Yes, the original.
Okay, yeah, the 1988 one directed by John Landis, starring Eddie Murphy, Arsenio Hall, James Earl Jones, Frankie Faison, Shara Headley, Sean Amos, Allison Dean, Eric LaSalle, Louis Anderson, and Paul Bates.
Oh, go ahead, intern.
Okay. I've only liked two things about the movie. The makeup was really well done with Eddie Murphy and Arsenio Hall playing a whole bunch of different characters. And the characters looked like they were really well done, especially Eddie Murphy playing a Jewish guy. The other thing was, I just realized now, like, I've been listening to TikTok for a year now, and I just realized, because they've been doing "Hello, my neighbor," and they say "F you," and I'm going, "Where's that from?" And I finally realized where that was from, this movie. And that's other than that, I was waiting for it to be funny. Other than Beverly Hills Cop, I don't enjoy Eddie Murphy really at all.
Okay, back this up. Doesn't TikTok, maybe you can help me a bit, I'm not a TikTok aficionado by any means, doesn't it tell you what it's from, like on the bottom, or no?
Yeah, well, I didn't notice that at the bottom. That was when I was first starting TikTok, and I just looked at the action. I didn't read the bottom line, but when I saw it, I'm going, well, where is this from? Like, what is it referencing? Watching that movie, I finally find out what it's referencing. And so that's one of the parts that I thought was, that's the only part I thought was funny.
Wait, what was this? I missed this.
Huh? And you said Eddie Murphy's not funny.
I don't like him he's not my type of comedy.
Okay, that I can accept, but I mean, Beverly Hills Cop's a genius movie.
It's not really totally comedy, though. It's like an action comedy. This one's supposed to be
but
comedy.
It has a lot of comedy in it. When he puts the banana and starts laughing about it, that's pretty funny.
I don't like the banana in the tailpipe joke. Yeah, okay.
When he gets the rope, hey, I can get you guys a rope. You want a rope? That was pretty funny. But that's Eddie Murphy's stack. He does comedy the whole time. He doesn't stop.
Well, so I did enjoy Beverly Hills Cop, but we're not talking about that. We're talking about this movie, which I didn't find funny.
Okay, fair enough. Coming to America, I remember this being funny. Now, I mean, I did see it when I was 17, mm-hmm. and I thought it was funny. Maybe I'm not 17 anymore. Music. So I put it on. I'm like, I watched it with my wife. We sat down and watched a bit. And she's like, "Does this get funny?" I'm like, "So it's not just me. I thought this was funnier at 17." So
maybe you have a better, different sense of humor at 17 than you do now.
Obviously, I did. Parts of this I still liked. Parts of it, I think the barbershop works.
Well, that's the part I was talking about.
I like the whole scenes in the whenever they're in the apartment. I like the dating stuff. Like, I've liked it more as a sketch comedy. If I took different sketches, I didn't like the end of the film at all. I find it's just sort of over. And I find the comedy kind of disappears at times. So in the beginning, I found there was not really much comedy. I love any place even with John Amos, it's totally comedy. I just love him. And Louis Anderson is only, I love, did you guys hear the story about Louis Anderson, why he's in the first film?
Mm-hmm. No.
They told him they had to have one white guy in the film. So they picked Louis Anderson because he's the only white guy they knew.
He was just there to eat Big Macs.
I gave this movie a 5. I thought it was okay. I agree with Bob on a lot of points. It didn't age well for me.
Thank you.
Parts of it I still liked. I just felt the comedy gets left out a lot and they focused more on... I mean, it does have a lot of story, but I get bored. I'm like, okay, I got it. Let's go.
That's you with almost every movie, you get bored.
I agree, but I just didn't find it as funny as I remember. But I still thought it was decent enough to pass it.
Yeah, I'll backpack on that. This is my first time watching it, actually.
Backpack, snack pack.
this is my first time watching it. And I thought this was supposed to be a comedy. I mean, I like some of it. I can't remember his name, but the... In Sexual Chocolate, I like that part where Eddie Murphy dresses up with that guy and sings on the stage. I liked the speed dating when they're at the bar. I thought that was kind of funny.
I thought that was very good.
And the Peaches character, that little rap. I didn't find it was funny. I smiled, like I thought it was kind of amusing, but it's just not really for me. I don't think. I mean, it's pleasant. It's like a more like a romantic comedy where it's just kind of amusing. It's very light, but it's not that good, is it? I mean, it's fine. It's not offensively bad. It's just I was expecting more because I've heard good things about it, you know? And I like the whole McDowell's bit with the – I thought that was kind of amusing with the copyright infringement and all of that. Like, no, it's a big mix, not a Big Mac kind of thing. I thought that was kind of funny. And it was interesting after the film learning about John Amos's history with McDonald's, and he worked at the first McDonald's in Canada, and he was in that one commercial. I thought that was kind of cool.
Did you read about how Eddie Murphy choked out John Landis?
I did not.
They hate each other's guts after this movie.
I thought they got into a... Oh, right. Anybody, they made up afterwards, right? And he wanted them to come back to direct Beverly Hills Cop 3. I think I read that.
I have no idea. I just know they got into a big fight on set, and Landis got choked out by Murphy because he didn't want his entourage on set. There were too many people on set, and he got annoyed with them.
Okay, that checks out.
Yeah, I've heard stories like that. Eddie Murphy's entourage got a little bit out of hand at a certain point in his life. I liked Coming to America. I liked it when I saw it as a kid. I revisited it, and it was exactly what I remember it. Is it as funny now as it was then? No, not particularly. But it still has its moments. It has some great character actors in it. John Amos is in it. Obviously, James Earl Jones. The woman that plays Sam Jackson. Yes, Sam Jackson as the robber. You know, Arsenio Hall is funny in it. You know, trying to spend all the money, and he wants to go back to live his rich life. And Eddie Murphy wants to get rid of it all to find the love of his life in Brooklyn. I enjoyed the film for what it was, and I still think it's kind of funny, so I don't like is it my favorite Eddie Murphy movie? No, but it's still somewhat endearing, and it has some good moments in it, some great songs, some funny dancing bits, the stuff in the palace with the bathers and stuff
that was okay.
I don't know. Has anyone else not spoken about the first one?
I have. I feel pretty much the same way you do, Kevin. I mean, it was a movie I hadn't seen in a while, but I revisited it with my kids. So they were watching it for the first time. And my oldest son, Owen, was like, honestly, it wasn't as funny as I thought it would be. He laughed a few times at the, you know, what is a dumb fuck? Yes, fuck you too. Those things. He laughed out loud at those, but... It's genuinely a sweet romantic comedy at its heart, and that's what it was. And there's still moments that make you laugh. I particularly love Semi writing back to Zamunda and Lee saying, are you sure 500,000 is enough? Why not go for a million?
You never know
what's going to happen. He's like, you think? Yeah, okay.
Is that too much?
For what it is, it's like you said, it's not my favorite Eddie Murphy movie, but it does have a special place in my heart, and I can't say anything too bad about it.
Plus, I love the callback to Trading Places.
Yes. Oh, yes, yeah, that's a great joke.
Yeah, and I don't know if you caught the callback in the new version too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So we're going to return to America? We just went there to Queens.
So someone said this movie should be actually coming to Zamunda.
Should be.
It's like a reversing. Yeah. See, but this in this one, you have to put the emphasis on the two, coming to America.
They go to America twice. Yes.
Yeah. Directed by Craig Brewer, starring Eddie Murphy, Arsenio Hall, Jermaine Fowler, Wesley Snipes, Leslie Jones, Tracy Morgan, Kiki Lane, Sherry Headley, James Earl Jones, and John Amos. And just pretty much copy and paste half of the cast, except for the guy that played the boyfriend in the first one.
Eric LaSalle.
Yes,
thank you. From ER.
He was busy doing whatever Eric LaSalle does with his ER money.
This one actually felt like more of a comedy than the first one. This one actually had more moments that made me laugh. But I'll be honest, the person who stole this movie for me was Wesley Snipes. I just, I love his energy in this movie. The way he's always dancing in the scenes and stuff. Mm-hmm. I think he works really well with Craig Brewer. He was amazing in Dolomite Is My Name. I forgot the title for a second. And this is his second go-around with that director. They just work so well together. The way he lets Wesley Snipes just steal the scenes that he's in. Mm-hmm. I love that. This one, it's not... I don't know. I don't like it as much as the first one, but I had fun with this. I thought some of the scenes were kind of rehashed. I didn't care for the barbershop this time around. But this movie did have the right amount of Tracy Morgan for me. I don't like it when he's the star, but as a supporting player, I thought him and Arsenio Hall going at each other as the sidekicks, that worked for me. So all in all, not as great as the first, but I'd give it a pass.
Wow. So, I have to go ahead, Kevin.
Okay. Well, I was going to say, you and I agreed on the first one and we agree on the second one. I laughed at a number of points in the film. I've seen a lot of negative reviews and I'm like, what is wrong with people? This is exactly Come to America again. It's the same formula. It's the same jokes with some new bits. I like the fact that the son is from Brooklyn. He's a player and he's actually a nice guy and he succeeds. Even though he's the male, like the reason for him coming is kind of thrown off everything with the daughters of Akeem who don't think they need a brother to succeed them as the king. Tracy Morgan was in the right amount to be funny and get out. The same thing with Leslie Jones. Leslie Jones goes a long way for me. And the right amount went in this one. So I was quite happy with that. There were some things I liked that were sweet, like the lion scene where he has to get the whisker of a lion. Okay. I thought that was very well crafted, very ingenious, and a lot of fun. The dance.
One thing I forgot to say was my favorite bit, the part that made me laugh the most, was one of the outtakes in the end credits. When he starts going, I got the whisker, and then it dawns on Eddie Murphy, hey, wait a minute, that's my bit.
I got your ice cream.
Okay, I have to disagree with both of you. I did not enjoy this at all. I saw this film. It's called Coming to America, done better. I only like the occasion. Again, John Amos, we put the toppings on the bottom.
Kirby.
Which worked for me. I didn't find this funny ever, except for Wesley Snipes. I did enjoy the Wesley Snipes scenes, but I thought the stupid tiger lion hairs, it was terrible. He couldn't remember the president's, whatever her, the woman from Ghostbusters, Leslie Jones.
Yeah.
Terrible. I don't like her as an actress. I don't find her funny. I liked her better in Ghostbusters. I did not enjoy this film. I thought the barbershop fell flat in his face. This time, I did like the callbacks to the dating thing because they tried to find as many people as they could, obviously. But again, I'm like, I just saw this film. It's called Coming to America. This doesn't do anything different for me. And maybe I wanted to, yeah, but I don't think you can go back. I think they should just left it the way it was.
But obviously, the callbacks to the dating thing is just like a snippet of the first film, though.
No, those are the characters from the first one. Now, 20 years later.
Yeah, but when they showed it happening, because they were telling the story, they showed the scenes from the first one.
I thought they were the actors older.
That was just to fill in the blanks. To go with Leslie Jones. Hold on.
Did you watch the movie?
Hold on. When Brooklyn comes to Zamunda, the twins that rap for them when they were dating, the actresses come back and they do a rap in Zamunda as older women.
But they also showed that same scene from the first movie, like at the bar. They also showed that in the
filling in the blanks earlier.
Okay.
And they did a little bit of computer trickery to insert young Eddie Murphy into a scene with Leslie Jones.
Oh, okay.
Now, how much money does Salt and Pepper need and TLC? Really?
Like, and Morgan Freeman.
Oh, and Morgan Freeman. I just found this thing to be a big mess. But Amazon obviously wanted it because I guess it did well. They needed the film. But I think this is pretty much unwatchable because I don't have a soul.
You don't. It's like any other reunion film. Most of them suck. This one I thought was watchable.
It just read my name for my thoughts. It wasn't fine. I a Simon on this one. Maybe if I would watch this when it was on DVD like 10 years ago and I didn't rewatch the first one, maybe it would be like, oh, hey, there's nostalgia. I like those little throwbacks.
Actually, I bought the first one recently.
A lot of throwbacks, but it's exactly the same movie. It's such an obvious sequel idea, and I didn't really care for the son. I like the daughters. I like Kiki Lane from what's that Netflix one with Charlize Theron, The Old Guard. I liked her. Otherwise, eh. And so many throwbacks, so many McDowells. It was kind of funny to see Louis Anderson. But I had watched the first film the night before. So it was just, yeah, I've seen this.
You just saw.
A couple hours ago. Yeah.
So what you're telling me is after watching this film and...
Hold on. What?
Oh, go ahead.
Okay, I hadn't gone yet. Okay, I have to agree with Doug and...
So did I. Kevin. I thought you piggybacked on Kevin, but it's all good.
No, I wasn't. I didn't give my whole thing.
Sorry.
My whole spiel. Because I agreed with Doug and Kevin on the Arsenio and Tracy Morgan bits. I agree with the Wesley Snipes part. But they have a scene with Jermaine Fowler, and I forgot who the Royal Barber person was, but they have a scene where they're making fun of their own movie because they're saying the sequels that not having to be made. And I thought that was a good jab at their own movie.
I thought that was lazy.
Oh, yeah, but for me it was a little bit like it got a little bit funny at that point. So
I love that meta stuff, but when I don't like the movie, it's like going for low hanging fruit.
Hang on.
I honestly thought there would be more Wakanda jokes in the movie.
I was hoping there would be. I have to agree with Doug on that one. So moving along, of course, you know, Jermaine Fowler gets to a boss level in the middle of the film when he has to take out the lion and maybe have to 32 tries to try to beat it.
Yeah. If you're going to the boss level, remember to bring the fire extinguisher. Boss level, directed by Joe Carnahan, starring Frank Grillo, Mel Gibson, Naomi Watts, Will Sasso, Annabelle Wallace, Selena Lowe as Guan Yin, and Guan Yin has done this. Michelle Yeoh and Ken Jeong.
So, Doug, this is a movie right up your level. I saw this and I thought of Kevin you instantly. So let's go.
This was fun. I liked the action in this movie. Frank Grillo, he was really good in this. I used to seeing him as the heavy, as the bad guy, but to see him play the good guy lead, that was fun for me. I liked all the little, I guess, not really cameos, but like Michelle Yeoh, Ken Jeong. I liked seeing them in their little roles in the diner. The one thing that really stuck out to me, aside from the fact that why did they hire Mel Gibson? He does nothing in this. Was the ending made no sense to me. If he has to do it over again, wouldn't he just keep having to do it over again? Would he keep having to go into the Osiris, whatever it was, again and again and again? Or does the loop break somehow by him doing it that one time? The ending just didn't make sense to me.
I think it broke that last time because he never got beyond a certain point, and he always got killed at that point. So he never got to the Osiris thingy.
So
but then he has to do it again.
But the Osiris spindle required his mass in order to stabilize and not end the world.
Yeah.
Okay, right? But then he has to do it again, though, so he goes back in time. So wouldn't the Osiris spindle need his mass again?
Every time he doesn't go in, the world ends and time restarts.
Right.
Okay. Right? Okay. And the day goes over again. Mm-hmm. So at the end, he discovers his wife is alive. He saves her. She tells him you have to go into the machine. It's waited for you. You're the missing ingredient. So the world will not end. So the world doesn't end and time does not restart because he went into it. But time does. She says time and space may change and erase him from. So,
but then he wakes up again at the very last shot is him waking up with that machete coming across his face.
Wait, so really?
Has, no, I missed that.
I didn't see that.
Not in the version I saw.
He was he has to do it again and not die. And he said, like, the voiceover says, don't die this time. Then he winks. And then the credits come up.
That's not the version I saw.
The version we saw, he goes in the thing and it's like, and then it's just directed by.
Yeah, it's a close up of his face. And then.
Oh, that is not the version that's.
So after that little scene, there was a bit where he was waking up again?
Where he wakes up again and he says, don't die this time. And then it says, directed by Joe Carnahan.
And then that means he could live.
Different versions then.
I like your version better.
Yeah, so do I.
It didn't make sense to me, though.
No, it doesn't make sense that he would wake up.
I saw him go in the machine and just then it ended. Huh.
I guess there's two versions. I had no idea.
No, we got the Canada version.
I guess the Canada version, U.S. version.
Mm-hmm. Or no. Okay.
Kevin?
I liked it. I thought it was a lot of fun. I mean, how many times are we going to see the Groundhog Day formula and be original? I thought Palm Springs was a pretty unique take on it.
Yeah.
But then again, so was this. This was like a do-over on a video game, and they're not subtle about the fact that that's the intention that they're drawing. Yeah, no, I loved it. It was great. No complaints. Grillo's fantastic.
Oh, Grillo's man, that body he has, and phenomenal for men.
And I was surprised at the level of talent that was brought in to support him as well. I mean, Mel Gibson, you know, not really in demand these days, but, you know, he was okay for what he does.
I think he's in more demand than Army Hammer.
Oh, well, Army Hammer's.
He's busy eating people.
Army Hammer is like Arm and Hammer now. You just put him in the fridge to keep the food fresh.
Okay, just to go on a quick thing. I was putting my 8x10s away on holidays. I was just typing them up. And I found my Arnie Hammer 8x10 in my... Am I allowed to have this? Then I thought to myself, I have Bill Cosby. Is there a difference now? Like, I'm not going to throw it out.
If you throw it out, just give it to me.
So, okay, back to Boss Level. This is my kind of movie. It appeals to me. I love Groundhog Day movies. Love them. I always want to know how they're going to get out of the groundhog. I tried to like this. I like most of it. I love the action scenes. I think Fred Grillo is lovely. I got bored. I really just felt it was too repetitious, doing the same thing and then over. The morning would start. Things obviously would be different all the time. And I got excited when the story finally moved, when we finally got to the arcade and he got to spend time with his kid. That was a nice, I like that touch. I liked him spending time in the bar. I'm like, oh my God, we're finally getting somewhere.
Because he lives longer each time.
Yeah, which is what I needed for this film. I mean, I didn't ideally pass it because I was too bored at the beginning. I might get somewhere a little bit quicker, a little more exposition, try to stay on a different storyline a little bit longer. But yeah, I love everything Frank Grillo did was fine. It wasn't him. It was the scriptwriter let us down. I really think there's a good concept here. I think it should have been done a little bit differently, and I think we've had a really solid film.
I thought it was kept fresh enough. Just with, like, I think it could have been more fun when we see him starting to kill everybody. Like, I would have loved to have seen him kill Ken Jin a couple of different ways. Like, I'm Ken Jin, I have done this. I think that was one of my favorite bits. I thought I kept it fresh enough, just, and then, and knew when to advance the plot. I liked Mel Gibson was fine. I liked Will Sasso as the henchman. I always like seeing him from his Mad TV days. He has just a really weird gruff voice this time.
He didn't look like himself either.
No, he had a big beard. But no,
why?
I like time loop in sci-fi. I don't think it's as fun as Edge of Tomorrow because that's just such a great
movie. Edge of Tomorrow, but that's, you're looking at a $100 million film as opposed to maybe a $15 million film. Yeah, I mean,
30. But no, just for comparison's sake in both sci-fi 30? Time
Boss loops. Level's a $30 million film, really?
I'd say 30. I don't know. I know. Someone can fact check it either or.
I don't have my phone handy or I would. Oh, I do. Hold on.
Okay. I'll keep talking in the meantime. But no, yeah, I enjoyed this film. I had some fun with it. I liked the emotional parts where he gets to know the son and he has that second chance. I like the action. I'm not always a fan of Jim Carnahan.
Budget was $45,000.
$45 million?
$45,000?
Yep. Worldwide gross was
$45 million, Rob? For budget? Because 45 million,
sorry, they made 1.2 million.
Oh, okay, good. That makes more sense. So I said 30, so I was a little off.
I said 30. You said 10.
Oh, you're right. I said
15. You're trying to take my money off.
Find the two.
Easy, Tiger. No, but you know, I had fun with this one. I think I like his other film. I'm not always a fan of his films. I don't really like Smoking Aces. I like The Gray. But I had fun with this one. I liked his direction here.
Can I go?
Yes.
Okay. I agree. Who said they like it's sort of like Palm Springs, the idea? I think Kevin or
Kevin.
I think Kevin.
Okay. I like that idea. But when I saw the beginning of Boss Level, I thought, not another Groundhog Day type movie again. But then I did like Palm Springs. But I like that the day resets after he dies, and each time it gets different. The kill scenes get better, and he lives longer, and there's more time spent on different things. So I actually like, and I thought I wasn't going to like this, but I thank you, Simon, for giving me this because I would have never watched it otherwise. Oh, okay. Never mind. So, I didn't say a word.
On my week off, I was playing some Pac-Man. And I got really excited when the cherry popped up, but I got like 1,000 points.
Ooh. Okay. Cherry, directed by Anthony Russo and Joe Russo, starring Tom Holland, Sierra Bravo, Jack Rayner, Jeff Wahlberg, Forrest Goodluck, and Michael Gandolfini. At 100 minutes, this could have been fine, but it's...
It could have been? It's, at 100 minutes?
No. 1 hour 40. I mean, but at 2 hours 20, it's pretty bloated.
Too much.
Just give me a 40-minute cut.
Too long.
For sure. It is exactly what I'm saying. That is too long. Honestly, I didn't mind Tom Holland here. I thought what he did with a very, very mediocre script, I thought was decent. I believe some of his emotions as a PTSD veteran. And then he just likes drugs and he wants to rob banks, which I think it just could have been more focused if like, okay, just have him rob banks. Cause that's, I love heist movies. That's my kind of thing. I see what you guys meant for Malcolm and Marie, that Zendaya is a bit not believable as a drug addict. Cause just the girl playing, I really liked Sierra Bravo in the role. Like I thought her emotions were good, but she looks too young for the role to be just suited on meth the whole time. But it's just, I like some of the style, but the script is just too generic and it's too long. And that last 10 minute montage where then he just has a mustache is just never ending. just the smile.
I will join Daniel. I thought this was a complete train wreck of a film. This is what happens when you have really directors that aren't reined in and can do whatever the hell they want. Literally, you want to do a slow shot of his ass, do a slow shot of his ass. You want to do a 2-hour and 20-minute film, 2-hour and 20-minute film. We're not going to edit it. Bloated to no end is not the right word. This film is over 40 minutes too long.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't care. I thought it starts off with a bank robbery. I'm like, oh, this sounds kind of interesting. And then it goes, I got to tell you something. I'm like, oh, crap. Here we go. And then he starts whining about this girl. I'm like, I don't care. And then he becomes a drug addict. It made no sense to me, that story arc. It just sort of wandered over there. I'm like, okay. And then we go back to the army and just stay. I'm like, this is uninteresting. That whole army scene looked fake. I'm like, this is bad. The graphics look better on my PS2 that I played than this. army thing. I thought it looked bad. All the army stuff, terrible. I didn't believe any of these characters had any motivation. I thought the end of the film even made less sense. You know? I'm just like, what is the point of this? Was there a point to this film in the end other than bore the crap out of me?
Well, like, that's exactly why they made it.
2 hours and 20 minutes. I was dying. Absolutely yeah. dying with the running time. It needed an edit. Maybe Daniel's right. An hour and 40 minutes might have been okay, but I didn't like anybody in this film. I didn't agree with anybody doing anything, and it made no sense to me at any time. Like, who would give this guy more time for drugs? Like, that's not the way things work.
Cocaine's a hell of a drug.
Like, maybe the Russo brothers should stop doing pizza in a movie, whatever their podcast is called, and do some research.
Well, I mean, this was based on a book, so they had
that. Was it?
Yeah. It was based on a novel, so they had a structure to go off of, but it seems like the Russo brothers, when they're not working in Marvel, they're bringing Marvel actors into very generic films, be it 21 Bridges, generic cop drama.
Is that yeah. them too?
They produced it.
Yeah.
They produced okay. it. They did generic Netflix action film with Extraction and Chris Hemsworth. Oh, right. Now they're doing generic Martin Scorsese / Stanley Kubrick in Cherry with Tom Holland. I guess if you're going to steal from the best, steal from Kubrick and Scorsese. Tom Holland was okay in this, but I just didn't like his character at all. I didn't care for him at all. It looked fine, I guess, but it was way too long.
Yeah. That's what she said?
Not his first girlfriend.
Yeah, no. So, all right. So I have to admit, I've only watched the first half, but
that's enough. Turn off.
Yeah. But you know what? I'm having a different take on this. I call this film The Parker and the Rye. I think there's a lot of parallels between The Catcher and the Rye. I think it's a look at disaffected youth at a time yeah. period where what are young people doing? They have no purpose. They have no. He has nothing to do. He doesn't know what love is, but he thinks he should be in love. He thinks maybe the military is something that he should do, so he tries the military. Maybe drugs would help. Maybe robbing banks will help. You know, trying to create some sense of purpose. That I think it's very much like True Romance. That kind of parody of it's not quite as it's a little bit more subtle than True Romance, but. It's that sort of that where are young people going? And if you stand, you know, Peter Parker, I mean, whatever his character's name is in this movie.
Peter Parker works.
Yeah, because he looks like Peter Parker and he talks like Peter Parker. And he's from sort of that same area. So he's doing the Peter Parker voice.
It quacks like a duck. And it's probably a duck, right?
And there were elements that were very Spider-Man-like, but... in the film.
Did anybody know his name was Cherry?
Mm-hmm. I always like to know character names, so I looked it up on Letterboxd halfway through and it's just, hey, I'm Cherry, but he never says it. So I guess that does give some merit to the Catcher in the Rye idea.
There's a throwaway line in the film where he goes, oh, I guess I'm colorblind. Oh, well.
Yes.
Do you know what color blood is? Well, I guess if he's colorblind, he doesn't.
No, because they do that when he's in the army, trying out for the army.
Right.
Yeah, and then they put the camera up his butt and we see inside.
You love that scene.
Great cinematographer, really.
Oh, phenomenal.
Cinematography, really.
Yeah.
Just love that. It's such a unique shot.
Yep. So I will say that there was an attempt to do a kind of a disaffected youth Catcher in the Rye type of film here. I don't think it necessarily works. But who knows? A generation that's not ours may look at this film and see it as this is their generation's hero. I don't know. I don't think it will, but I mean, it could.
Please, no.
So, like we look at, I certainly didn't enjoy Full Metal Jacket when I first saw it. but I've grown to respect it.
I have to, well, I think I better go with Simon and Daniel on, or I think it was Daniel. I didn't really enjoy this. Like, I know now I understand why it felt like all mashed up to me, but I didn't believe Tom Holland's character and the relationship with Kiara. Emily. And it just like, huh? Emily, yeah. Well, okay, Emily. That's okay. I'm lost now. It just didn't hit me. Like I didn't enjoy this at all because it didn't, maybe it's not my genre, whatever, but it just like, it didn't, I got where he went to the army. I got when they were doing the song, like you're going to do this song, to the guy who was leading it. And they said, yes, drill sergeant, no drill sergeant, whatever. I'm going, I don't care. It's just, I just didn't enjoy it at all.
Did you talk? Go ahead.
That's it.
No, I thought Daniel had something to say. I was just about to say, Bob, last time on an airplane, did you hear these two ladies that wouldn't shut the hell up through a whole movie? A whole plane trip?
Oh.
I've been
like that. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
No, and Barb and Star go to Vista Del Mar. directed by Josh Greenbaum, starring Kristen Wiig, Annie Mamolo, Jamie Dornan, Rain Doi as Yo-Yo, Vanessa Beyer, Fortune Feimster, Damon Wayans Jr., and Michael Hitchcock.
There's another Fortune Feimster movie.
Go ahead, intern.
This episode.
Go ahead. Okay. I did not enjoy this. Like, and it's almost half a Bob movie. And I thought you and I discussed this, Simon, but maybe not. I felt like the two.
Attempted to discuss it with me, and I said, save it for the show.
Yeah, I know you did. So I attempted, and I said, okay, so I'll start now. They were too chirpy and too chippy and too like happy, and I thought, nobody is really like that. Maybe sometimes. The characters were just annoyingly happy. And the part where I know it was a Bob type movie was the guy singing on the beach and having this dance, and then the scene in the hotel, and I'm going, yeah, okay, it's even too much for me. It was like you're trying to kill me with a Bob type movie.
But wouldn't this appeal to you? Like I would say, this
usually
would be a Bob movie.
Usually,
this
would.
Is totally your kind of movie. It's got
not
singing.
When the characters are like that, like the two.
It's got a singing scene. Now it's got nothing you need to fast forward. It's got no boobs. You don't have to fast forward anything. It's got Morgan Freeman.
What's going on? It's just moving at twice the pace.
It's got Jamie Dornan in it. It's got
That's the guy that did the dancing and singing on the beach.
And it's got Marlon Wayans. I mean, it's got all the comedy elements the intern loves.
Yes, but not in this movie. Okay. The two lead characters were too chirpy. Even for me.
That's like Barb and Star?
That's not impossible.
Okay, I guess I'll pick up since I've interjected. This was a painful watch for me. I didn't hate it. I liked the beginning, actually. I did enjoy the first 20 minutes at the store. And the people want to buy the couch. I thought that was a decent joke.
Can't buy the couch. This is our couch. And they're just talking a mile a minute. I'm going, it already failed for me.
Was the talk club, whatever that group is there is. Is it called the talking club?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
That was pretty funny. I thought there were some good jokes when they make the wiener salad or whatever. I thought that kind of worked. And then I got bored. Literally, as soon as they hit that plane and they didn't stop and they had that friend they made the whole joke about, they talked Trish? About for 10 minutes, Trish was like this. And Trish, I'm like, I'm done. That's it. I can't listen to this accent anymore.
Forgot about
it. And then, because they gave me that great beginning with the kid blowing up the scientist's house and then they kill the scientist. And they don't really revisit that till the end of the film when. Can I spoil it? We spoil everything. When Kristen Wiig shows up as a new character and things go really weird.
I didn't realize she was playing this like two different characters. I didn't think that was her at first. Then I realized, oh, it is.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What was Jamie Dornan doing in this film? He was hamming it up. Is he looking for a Comedy of the Year award? Because, I mean,
everything.
He looks lost. I felt bad for him. And Morgan Freeman is a crab just randomly.
Yeah, that's an impersonator.
That wasn't Morgan Freeman.
It was just an impersonator. A very good one.
Okay.
Oh, I don't care. It was terrible. I went nuts. I wanted to punch them both in the face numerous times. I'm like, I can't listen to this. It drove me nuts. The nattering. Then it's like Kevin not answering the phone for me. Now I know why. So it's just not for me. I did not enjoy this. I hope somebody else got something out of this. But for me, Barbara Starr is a no.
You both are on one side of the beach, and I'm with the seagulls on the other side. And I'm asking them if they can hear my prayer. And I'm climbing up the palm tree because I love this movie. It's my kind of humor. I like this lonely – I mean, it's very similar to Lonely Island and just like the Captain Jack Sparrow song and just Hot Rod and all that kind of humor and pop star. And it's just –
Hold on. Do not compare this to Popstar. Popstar kind of is a style work of humor.
Oh, it is. And I think this is a work of genius.
Okay.
I love
Popstar. I Want to F You Like Bin Laden should have been nominated for an Oscar.
Okay. And I think Seagulls in the Sand should be. I think it might qualify next year. I think it was somewhere in the middle.
Like a cat climbing up a tree.
Never pop. Yeah.
Because a cat wanted to climb up a palm tree. And I can't tell you how hard I laughed at that line. And I love the absurdity of it. And I can totally see where you guys are coming from. Their voices are annoying. It's Barb and Star. They go to Vista Del Mar. But it's fun, you know? And I love how it's kind of Austin Powersy with her playing two roles and that kind of campy villain stuff. I like that. And it kind of has like, it's a very similar villain plot to the Tuxedo, that movie with Jackie Chan with the
that
the
movie insects. Is terrible.
The guy that did the voice of Morgan Freeman is he played Morgan Fremond.
Oh,
right. You're talking about this. It was Jennifer Love Hewitt was a terrible film.
Oh, yeah, no, I mean, I liked it when I was a kid. I probably won't like it now, but it's just that made me think of the villain plot in that kind of way. But I love this movie. I think it's fun. If it's not your kind of humor, that's totally fair. Because I can see how they can get on people's nerves, but they go a mile a minute, and I thought most of the jokes hit. And this just really worked for me. Kevin?
I agree with you. Actually, I don't agree with them. I gotta say, this movie, I did not know what to expect. I expected to hate it. And as soon as the kid, he's listening to the music on the bike, I'm like, okay, interesting. And then he goes to a fake tree and an owl scans him, and then he goes into a lair.
I love it.
In the lair is Jamie Dornan and this albino woman who makes a
suicide
drink with the taps. Then I was hooked. I'm like, all right, this is going to be weird, and I'm going to go along with this. And it was weird. It was goofy and bizarre. It was like a bad drug trip. But I was along for the ride, and the songs were stupid, but I got a chuckle out of them. Like a seagull sitting on a tire. Hear my prayer. You know,
seagulls in a croup. Can you hear my prayer?
Yeah. Just bizarre.
I'm going to go where?
You know, and then, you know, Star is having sex with Jamie Dornan and Barb is out meeting Tommy Bahama, played by...
Andy Garcia, I forgot.
Yeah, Andy Garcia, who's in the woods.
She's living her life. Helping skydiving her find her shimmer. And everything. And
then, helping her find her shimmer.
Them going their separate ways is kind of sweet, too, I thought.
Yeah, no,
it was time.
I had a great time with this film. I thought, it was just weird enough to keep me interested and had some good jokes in it.
Oh, and who could forget about the culottes?
The culottes, yes, that helped save their lives.
Oh.
Yeah. It's the alligators and the culottes. So anyway, I enjoyed it. I'm going to go with Daniel on this one.
We're having our own little beach party, Kev.
Yes, that's right. Seagulls, hear our prayer.
Please hear our prayer.
Right. I didn't get a chance to watch this one, so I have no
opinion. Why not? Are you still too busy on the Criterion Clanner channel?
The what?
I did watch some Criterion stuff this week, yes, but no, I was busy this week.
That's okay. You're allowed to be, even with a day off. Kind of strange, but okay.
Are we going to have a yes day for Kulaz?
I think we are. A yes day to Orange Crush.
Yes Day is directed by Miguel Arteta, starring Jennifer Garner, Edgar Ramirez, Jenna Ortega, Julian Lerner, Everly Carganilla, Matt Faxon, Fortune Feimster again, Arturo Castro, and her. The singer.
The singer?
Yes. But punctuation in between.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I'll start Yes Day off for a change. I kind of enjoyed this. Parts of this I thought were kind of fun. Did it blow me away? No. It's probably one of the better Jennifer Garner films out there, I thought. I thought it was kind of fun family drama. I think a family could sit around and watch this, no problem. I don't think family should really do a Yes Day. I think it might cause a little bit more problems than this film. Obviously, it sets parameters out, but they don't really happen. You know what I mean? There's still hijinks ensue. But I think it's fun. It's light. There's really not much I can say, but I thought it kind of pushed a little bit at the end with Jennifer Garner and her daughter. You know, when she goes to the concert and things happen, I thought that was a little pushy. I'm like, and Jennifer Garner goes on stage, but I'm like, you know what? I got to let it go. It's a film. It's going to be happening. I did enjoy the science experiment. I thought that was pretty funny. And I could see that actually happening when a bunch of kids get together. But, you know, parts of this film worked. I just overall thought it was just a little plain for me, but passable.
Hmm. Yeah, okay. I can add on. I enjoyed this. I think for me, like, the parameter for me enjoying a good family film like this is how cringy the comedy is. Like if it's something like Playing with Fire, that John Cena one, where it's just awful writing, I just can't enjoy that. Or something like War with Grandpa. I didn't like something like that, but I like this movie. I like Jennifer Garner. I like Jenny Ortega. And also a big thing for me is if I get annoyed by the kids and I didn't think that they were annoying. I liked Ortega as the oldest. I liked the son and the other one. And I liked the chemistry between Garner and Edgar Ramirez. I thought the things they wanted to do were interesting, just with the kids' imagination. This is something kids would think of. I liked that. I had a lot of fun with the first half. I liked Matt Faxon's character who suggested the Yes Day. I thought that was good. And I think it is a decent idea for parenting. It's coming from someone who's not a parent, it seems like an okay idea.
Sorry, just to interject for a second. No, I wish they did more with that guy that suggested the Yes Day. He keeps showing up in the film, but he doesn't do anything else. He just sort of does stuff. I thought he would be more part of it or maybe have better jokes.
I think it was like an airplane where the guy pops and goes, yes.
See, he actually like had the jokes. One moment that made me laugh.
Oh, yeah? Which one?
At the end, at the concert, he's like, me too, everyone? Oh, just, okay. That was okay, the one thing of his good, that made me laugh.
Yeah. Yeah, I liked him in the role. And I had more fun with the first half than the second half as it gets a bit more serious. But then it really got me back in the third act there. Yeah. When Ramirez kind of put his foot down. I liked that. Yeah. So my one thing was, did she, technically Jennifer Garner lost the Yes Day because she said no to Cotton Candy. I mean, like technically that's not saying no to, I just saw your name, Simon. That's technically not saying no to something they want. It's saying something no to something that she wants, but still doesn't that count as a loss? And I teared up. I did not cry at this one. I cried at Raya.
We know you did. It was on there. Sitting there waiting to fall.
I cried at Raya, but that's it.
No matter what he says, you're allowed to.
No, I'm never ashamed to cry at a movie.
And then the doorbell rang and his Rosa pizza showed up and his face just got big and he went down to get it.
Oh, yeah. And then I just wiped my tears as I get to the door.
Tom and Jerry was quite the emotional roller coaster.
Oh, it was. When they got sucked up in that tornado, I was like, Jesus, Murphy, what's going to happen? What's going to happen? I'm tearing up right now, to be honest with you.
See, I told you it happened.
No, I definitely teared up at I got emotional with like some of the moments between Garner and Ortega in this film, but I didn't get there. But like, I'm never ashamed to cry at a movie.
Yes,
I just thought that was a very I like the name, Simon. Thank you. Someone else?
Yeah, I can go because I'm on the same level with you and Simon. I enjoyed the movie as a whole. It's a fun movie. It may not be a great movie, but it's a fun. I enjoyed every part of it. It was for me, it was a different kind of concept. I like the scene with like all the park with the water balloons and Jennifer Garner's character gets all the flags. I thought that was really good. So she's, I win. And then at the end with the concert, I thought that was really well done with they can sing the song that they sing together. So I really enjoyed it as well. No, he didn't. Nice.
Pretty right. Close. Sorry.
Thanks.
Next, Doug.
I didn't care for this movie. It just wasn't for me. Like Tom and Jerry, people who are going to watch this movie don't necessarily listen to movie podcasts. So I could say anything right now and it won't change anybody's mind. But the movie just wasn't for me. It was made fine. And if you want to watch it, go for it. If you don't, that's fine too. The movie would have been better if they played Murder Ball from Psycho Gorman instead of that Kablooey. That would have been more fun.
I love Kablooey.
But it just wasn't for me. It's not my type of movie. It was sweet. It was fine. Not for me.
That's fair.
Yeah, we're in agreement on this one. I thought this was adequate. It was okay. Jennifer Garner is playing it safe, doing mommy movies. The best moment of the film for me was when the father and the daughter are singing Faith No More in the car. To me, that was the highlight.
With the gummy bear, and then they go into
what is it? You know,
I'm a gummy bear. I'm a gummy bear.
Not that part, but the part after and they're singing Faith No More.
Okay.
We should do more carpool karaoke with fathers and daughters singing metal songs.
Come to my car. It happens every once in a while.
Yep. Yeah, I mean, my brother used to play alternative music with my niece and nephew in the car, and they used to sing the songs. But yeah, that's fun. But other than that, it was okay. Again, a safe family film. You know, with the same kind of formula where there's always an older daughter or son that wants to do something that's more adult and the parent doesn't want to let them go.
Yeah.
You know, we've seen that in pretty much every family movie.
Yeah.
Like, won't anybody think of the sketchy dudes? Exactly. What about those sketchy dudes feelings? What about
the sketchy dudes? They're normal. They're dudes like everybody else. They're just, anyway, they're not as sketchy as Cherry, but hey.
Oh,
that's true.
Who is?
Yeah.
So we're at that part of the show. Did anybody buy anything or pick up anything off a lawn for free?
I know. I bought Coming to America, the first one.
I've got some stuff here.
Okay, go ahead, Doug. Oh, you got your order.
Yeah, I got a, well, it's a special RoboCop. Edition of RoboCop. I think I have like
Arrow.
I think I have like 9 copies of RoboCop, but every time they do a new special. From the Criterion 50% off, I got a Gold Rush, Charlie Chaplin.
Nice.
The Awful Truth, directed by Leo McCarey, same guy who directed Duck Soup. And just watched this last night with the kids, Defending Your Life by Albert Brooks, one of my all-time favorites.
Guess we know it's showing up on Doug's list.
And a big old box of Wong Kar-wai films.
Oh, wow. I should have bought that myself. Kevin, nothing?
I bought the original Jumanji was on sale on iTunes for $5. and Alita Battle Angel for 7.
Excuse me.
Intern.
Just coming to America.
Daniel, nothing, I presume?
Nothing.
Okay, I'm going to read a few of these because I got a whole box, so I'll do a bit every show. I got Held Up, which I'm sure you guys have never heard of.
Nope.
I got something called Weather Girl.
Nope.
ATL.
Nope.
Caught in the Crossfire on Blu-ray. It looks like a $5 Walmart bin special. Blu-ray. Something called Mean Creek.
Oh, we did that. I had us do that one. You've seen that.
Have I seen this?
Yeah, we did that on the show. That's what one of Josh Peck when he drowns and he gets hit on the head with the video camera.
Oh, I can get rid of this one? Okay, I can get rid of it. Yeah, I'll get sell. I got some Stephen Dorfell Gilmore direct piece of junk called X11.
That's based on a manga.
Is it?
Yep.
And has anybody seen this thing called Mickey with John Grisham wrote it?
No.
And something called Normal with Jessica Lange and Tom Wilkinson. And that's just the start of the pile. I do have another pile right beside here, but we're running late tonight, so I'll do it next time. And if they make it...
Simon forgets he watched it.
Very true.
Watches it again.
And then makes Bob watch it and gives it to him.